Welcome to WOCC Online. You know, we really miss being together on Sundays, but we're so glad that you joined us today.
Stay strong, lads. Stay in hope and in faith.
Let's get into today's message.
Romans chapter 8, and we're going to read from verse 9 through 11, through the message again. But if God Himself has taken up residence in your life, let me just stop right there. If you're a Christian, that's not only what happened, that's what you claimed has happened. God has taken up residence in your life. He's moved in, lads. We talked about that a couple weeks ago, how He's moved in. He's in our spirit, our real person, the person that's going to live forever, the person that's going to go to heaven and see all the other people that's gone to heaven and see Jesus and all of heaven's heroes, including yourself. And that's your real person. If God Himself has taken up residence in your life. So he's writing, Holy Spirit is, if you're a Christian, God has taken up residence in your life. I'll continue, verse 9. You can hardly be thinking more of yourself than him. Anyone, of course, who has not welcomed this invisible but clearly present God, the Spirit of Christ, won't know what we're talking about. But for you who welcome him, in whom he dwells, even though you still experience all the limitations of sin, you yourself experience life on God's terms. Verse 11, it stands to reason then, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. And what are we talking about? Life on God's terms. And lads, we want that life, and we want it bigger in our life, don't we? I know that's what we want as Christians. Let's go back to familiarize yourself with Romans 8, verse 11. You'll be a little more familiar with the verse in the New King James Version. But if the spirit of him who raised Jesus from the dead dwells in you, he who raised Christ from the dead will also give life to your mortal bodies through his spirit who dwells in you. Or some versions say, will give life to your mortal bodies because of the spirit who dwells in you. You know, before we were Christians and before the Holy Spirit moved in, before God, the Holy Spirit himself moved in, lads, before that happened, we were alive. You know, if you were a certain weight and you were a certain gender and you're walking around, that's what you were before the Holy Spirit moved in. It's what you were after the Holy Spirit moved in. You were still alive, but now that same spirit that raised Christ from the dead is dwelling in you, and he wants to make alive your mortal body. If we can just look at verse 11 again, please bear with me. I'm going to read some scripture today. Verse 11 again from the message, Romans 8. It stands to reason, doesn't it? That if the alive and present God who raised Jesus from the dead moves into your life, he'll do the same thing in you that he did in Jesus, bringing you alive to himself. When God lives and breathes in you, and he does, as surely as he did in Jesus, you are delivered from that dead life. With his spirit living in you, your body will be as alive as Christ's. And he brought that right in after verse 10 when he said, you yourself experience life on God's terms. In 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, I'd like us to look at verse 5 and 6. I'm going to read it from the New Living Translation. For you are all children of the light and of the day. We don't belong to the darkness and night. Verse 6, so be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Stay alert and be clear-headed. Because of a new pandemic lifestyle and all the interruptions that this pandemic introduces into our life, we need to live our Christianity a bit differently. I mean, obviously, here we are virtually in your home, and we're not meeting together in the church building. And we miss that so much. We miss the human contact. But yet, it's okay to comply with our government's wishes. They're not asking us to disobey God's word right now. They're asking us, please cooperate with us so that we can have a bit of control, so that we can serve everyone in society. And the Lord encourages us to do that. The Lord also encourages us to pray for our leaders. And so our government, those that are in authority, so don't forget to do that. But anyway, back to, he said in 1 Thessalonians 5:6, be on your guard, not asleep like others. Stay alert and be clear-headed. You see, when different things interrupt our previous lifestyle, we can be thrown off by that. And we can actually be in, particularly when we're locked down, or we're locked in or whatever, however you want to term it, and our lifestyle has to change, we can get a little sleepy. I don't want to use the word lazy, because it's not. It's just we act a little differently, just maybe a little sleepier, or we're just, but the Lord says, be on your guard. We need to be clear-headed. Verse 6, we need to be clear-headed, be on your guard. And God's formula for us to be clear-headed as Christians, you are the person, I am the person God's talking to, a person in whom He resides. He lives within us. So His formula for us to remain clear-headed has always been prayer, fasting, and time in God's Word. When the religious people came to Jesus and said, why aren't your guys fasting? Jesus said, because they're with me. There's going to come a time when they will. And it's always through Scripture. It's not if you fast, it's when you fast. And a lot of times we don't emphasize this subject very much. And we normally do around this time of year because it's a good time to, a lot of us are taking inventory, if you will, of our life. And we're taking notes. What do we want this year to be like? And what are these accomplishments? What are these goals? And this sort of thing. So it's a good time to talk about fasting. But God's formula for us to be on our guard and to stay clear-headed has always been prayer, fasting, and time in God's Word. You know, He wants us to be able to think and act clear-headed. And we're not going to do that without prayer and time in His Word. I mean, the apostles said that in Acts chapter 6. We're not leaving prayer and time in the Word. So things in this world, though, and the situation and circumstances that we find ourselves can cause us to be a little less clear-headed. Because of the circumstances, because of the situations, we're faced with things that we're not used to being faced with. We're confronted with things that we haven't had to do it this way before, or we haven't had this type of restriction, or we haven't had our children in the house all day, 24/7, and it seems like 365, you know, but we haven't had these situations like this, but now we do. And the Lord says, be on your guard, make sure you're clear-headed, be on your guard. So our daily life and our routines, we're still eating, sleeping, we still have family care, we're still working and resting and those sort of things. But because of the situation, we might have new habits, and sometimes they might not be great habits, or sometimes we've established even better habits because life has slowed down for us and we are a little more relaxed maybe. But the Lord wants us to stay alert and be clear-headed. And it's a brilliant message for us in 2021. It's a brilliant message because He's calling us to a new lifestyle, regardless of what's going on in the world, regardless of circumstances, situations, news headlines, regardless of any of that, lads. The Lord's calling us into a new lifestyle, like we talked about last week, into a closer relationship with Him. And we can do this. And He so wants us to do this because, like we said last week, He wants to be all that to us and the bag of chips. God has all these promises, and I am this to you, but it's up to us to let Him. So in 2021, we're determined that God becomes all of those promises that He said He would be. And the new year now is a brilliant time to focus on building spiritual disciplines. And fasting is one of those disciplines that helps us get to the place where we've always dreamed about God getting us to. Always imagined what life would be like with God. Fasting can do that. Well, that's quite a statement, Pastor Jim. Well, let's look into it just for a minute. Fasting clears the distractions. It's meant to tune us in to God's frequencies. Fasting is my effort on myself to develop spiritual disciplines, to be clear-headed and to become spiritually fit, or some of us, to be spiritually fit again. Life happens, and circumstances and situations can be thrown at us, and we find ourselves, wow, maybe we're not on fire as we used to be for God. Maybe we just don't feel as tight with God. Maybe we actually think, wow, I haven't heard from God in a while, you know. Just that close, that fervent prayer or those things. But God's purpose for a fasted lifestyle, let's turn to Isaiah chapter 58, verse 6. God's purpose for this fasted lifestyle is, he says, is this not the fast that I've chosen? To loose the bonds of wickedness, to undo the heavy burdens, to let the oppressed go free, and that you break every yoke. To loose the bonds of wickedness, number one. I think the number one thing to loose the wickedness, have you ever been wronged? That's what he's talking about. Have you ever been violated? Have you ever been extremely offended or just offended? Do you know when you forgive that person, you're not releasing that person, you're releasing yourself. So forgiveness is all about. Yes, it does release that person, but you actually become free from that violation. To undo the heavy burdens, he says. The heavy burdens is like a yoke, but it's not like a yoke of oxen. He talks about that later in this verse, but you've seen an ox or a mule or something going around, and they're working a mill or something, and they're just going around in circles. They might walk 50 kilometers that day, but they've gone absolutely nowhere. That's the heavy burden. That's what fasting will do. It just will. It will help us forgive the flippin' Egypt that offended you. That helps, okay? Because it quiets that passionate humanist of ours, and it lets our spirit man come forth. And what is that spirit man filled with? Remember? The Holy Spirit poured out the love of God in our hearts. Yes, the love of God was poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit. And if we can get our human emotions out of the way, the right emotion, the right spirit of love comes through and forgives. And then suddenly we find, because we fasted, we get out of the way these heavy burdens. It lets the oppressed go free. If you've ever felt enslaved to something, do you ever get a job, or maybe you're in a job that you really can't stand it. You're thanking God for the job, but man, I really don't like this. I feel like I'm almost enslaved in it. Fasting will help change your attitude towards that. And as soon as you're released, I'll bet that new job will come, or I'll bet that job you're on will change, and you'll be released in it. And that breaks every yoke. We're still in verse 6 here. Every burden that's ever been a burden, and that's the yoke, like a yoke of oxen. He'll break every yoke. This fasting will do this. It'll snap it. It'll break it. It'll cut it off, and you'll walk away from it. And why is this so important? Because we want life on God's terms. Remember, we talked about this before. Terms and conditions apply. They do with God. Terms and conditions do apply to His promises. His love is never failing, never ending, and totally unconditional. God loves us. He does. But when it comes to His promises, terms and conditions do apply. Did you know that the Lord desires to bless you and make your life a glowing example in how wonderful He is to His children? God desires to bless you to such an extent that you are a living billboard of telling people this is how wonderful God is to His children. But it's up to us. Remember, fasting changes us, not God. And a fast goes to work on us. In fasting, what are we talking about, Pastor Jim? We're talking about abstaining from whatever keeps us from being spiritually clear-headed, whatever keeps us from being hot and on fire in our relationship with our Heavenly Father. Those who will take fasting and prayer seriously in this time, beginning today for 21 days through the 30th, if you'll take this seriously, you're going to see serious breakthroughs in your life. I'm convinced of it. I know it. I know from experience, yes, but I know from others. When you take this seriously, you're going to realize it. I know it. Listen, I have to admit that I'm encouraging everyone to engage in this measured fast, 21 days, in the hopes that fasting will become a lifestyle for you. Because fasting with prayer and time in God's Word, you are going to see breakthroughs. You are going to see great and mighty changes in your life. All because God wants to do things in you, through you, and for you. Amen? Listen, what if we gave up our right to ourselves, to Jesus Christ, and lived life on God's terms. Let me ask that question again. What if we gave up our right to ourselves, to Jesus Christ, and lived a life on God's terms? Proverbs 22, verse 4, we read this last week, I think. And I'll just read it from the Passion again. Laying your life down in tender surrender before the Lord will bring life, prosperity, and honor as your reward. Laying your life down. And that's what fasting does. It changes the focus. Jesus said, remember in Matthew 16, 24 and 25, you're not in the driver's seat, I am. And then he said, don't run from suffering. In this particular case, I believe he gave me this verse because the suffering is fasting. What is that suffering? Not doing what you want to do, but setting that aside, not doing what your human nature wants to do. Set that aside and take time to pray, spend time in God's Word, spend time just to rejoice in circumstances, situations, but rejoice. He said, embrace it, follow me, I'll show you how. This is Jesus talking. And he says in verse 25, self-help is no help at all. Self-sacrifice is the way. Again, fasting. My way to finding yourself, your true self. What if we allowed God? Again, what if we gave up our right to ourselves, to Jesus Christ, and lived life on God's terms? Hallelujah. Just think about it. You know, Jesus lived a fasted lifestyle. He lived a life on his Father's terms. He formed and established spiritual disciplines, and he began his ministry with a fast. He did. Remember? Matthew 4, Luke 4. That's how he started his ministry. The Lord's greatest spiritual discipline was prayer, no doubt. But before we get into that, I just want us to think about what type of fast we might do. You know, you can go on a total fast, and that's just water only. I don't recommend that because most people have to work and you have to go through things, and most people aren't physically fit for a fast like that. There's modified fasts where it's water and juice. There's a Daniel fast. You might have heard of that. You know, water, fruit, vegetables. There's a skip a meal fast. I've done that a number of times. Just, I'm not taking that meal. I'm going to go pray. There's, how about the John Wesley fast? Water and bread only. And then there's the Jewish fast. No food from sunup to sundown. You might not want to do that in the summer. You only get about 4 or 5 hours to eat. I'm just joking. But anyway, then there's the widow fast. And that's providing others with your time and resources. And then there's the media fast. Fasting media. Take the biggest thing in your life, lads, and crucify it. Might be your phone. And then there's target fasts. You know, I mentioned last week someone had told me about a mouth fast. And then there's Bible reading. I'm just going to read the Bible. Or Bible study. I'm going to study. I'm setting this time aside, and that's what I'm going to do. Or I'm actually sitting down and making plans, and I'm going to follow these plans. You know, that can be fasting for some people because there's a lot of people, they don't like to follow that. They don't like actually routines. They like shooting from the hip, if you will, in their life. But your life will be transformed if you fast. Now, what about prayer, Pastor Jim? Come on. Prayer has to accompany fasting. Prayer is fellowship with God. It's communion with God. It's power with God. Colossians chapter 4, verse 2. You know this. Pray diligently. Stay alert with your eyes wide open in gratitude. Don't forget to pray for us. I love what it says and how it says in the New Living Translation, devote yourself to prayer with an alert mind and a thankful heart. Devote yourself. The great impact a Christian can have in their life and through their life, the great impact is prayer. It just is. And this is the spiritual discipline. We saw that was the Lord's greatest discipline, and it must be ours. James 5:16, the last part of that verse, a tremendous power is released through passionate, heartfelt prayer of a godly believer. Ephesians chapter 6, verse 18, praying always with all prayer and supplication in the Spirit, being watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. And then he says in verse 19, and for me. And he says, pray hard and pray long in another version. Don't forget to pray for me. I'd like to say that too. Don't forget to pray for me and Pastor Jan, please. But continue earnestly in prayer, being vigilant in it. 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18. Rejoice always, pray without ceasing, in everything give thanks. Hallelujah. 1 Peter chapter 4, verse 7. This is going to introduce us a little bit into what we're going to get into next week. But the end of all things is at hand. Therefore, be serious and watchful in your prayers. He says that in the Passion Translation. I love it. So that you can be given to prayer. He says, I'll just read that verse again. Since you are approaching the end of all time, all things, be intentional, purposeful, self-controlled, so that you can be given to prayer. Romans 12:12, rejoicing in hope, patient in tribulation, continuing steadfastly in prayer. Be patient, lads. This pandemic isn't going to last forever. This lockdown's not going to last, lock-in, whatever, is not going to last forever. We need to be patient. Remember Hebrews chapter 6, verse 11? We receive the promises of God through faith and patience. Amen? Jesus said in Luke 22:46, don't stop praying. You're going to need the strength to endure great temptation. And I think the greatest temptation that faces Christians today is quit. It is. It's a great temptation. Just quit. And I'll tell you, lads, the enemy just doesn't stop. He wants to give us all sorts of reasons to not strengthen, be filled with hope, be filled with faith. Life on God's terms is strong. Life on God's terms is full of hope. It walks by faith. And the greatest of these, he said, is love. And that love just pours through our life. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, encourage each other, verse 11. 1 Thessalonians chapter 5, verse 11. So encourage each other and build each other up, just as you are already doing. The Lord is openly encouraging us to encourage others. I just can't emphasize it enough. If you can join us on our times of prayer, when we have our Zoom meetings, please join us. Please do. The Lord is openly encouraging us to encourage others. Be in touch with others. Find somebody that you know in church here and get in touch with them and see how they're doing. Actually, find out if they're fasting. You can be bold. Hey, are you fasting? I'm fasting and I want to share with you what I'm doing. It's good to have accountability. It's good. Share it with somebody that you trust. It's not going to beat you up, you know. I had a situation once where I had a fast where I wasn't eating after 6 o'clock at night. And it was about 10 minutes after 6, and I was just clearing the table with my dishes, and someone had phoned. What are you doing? Oh, just clearing the plate. And they said, I thought you quit eating after 6 at night. I said, yeah, I did. Well, right now it's 20 after. And I said, well, actually, I stopped about 10 after. And, you know, you broke your fast. Okay, whatever. No. That's not the kind of fast the Lord's looking for. What the Lord's looking for, and not to be dogmatic, he's not to be like to beat you up over. No, something that you can commit to and something that you are really wanting to lose the distraction in your life. Spend time with the Lord and take part in your relationship with your Heavenly Father. To become spiritually clear-headed. Be in touch with others and be touchable. Let others get in touch with you and be not only encouraging, but be encourageable. Receive encouragement as well. So come up with a fast starting today, something that will help you draw closer to the Lord, something that will encourage you for the next 21 days. And perhaps you'll see that you'll want to make this part of a lifestyle change. And you're going to experience breakthrough, lads. You will. Now, if you don't know Jesus, like I've been talking about, maybe you're not sure that the Holy Spirit is living and abiding with